جزاكم الله خيرا، آمين يا رب العالمين. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. الحمد لله والتفضل and the كرم of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Allah has blessed us and enabled us to share and discuss the lives of the greatest of people. Imagine, subhanAllah, those who Allah has chosen, Allah has selected
to be the companions of His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be of those whom are the greatest after Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. But imagine, this is a man who was so beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was nicknamed the beloved. The beloved of whom? The beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how special. His son was known as the beloved, the son of the beloved.
He was unfortunately enslaved. But when we study his life, we realize that subhanAllah, sometimes what outwardly seems to be a misfortune becomes the greatest means of success, nobility, honor. SubhanAllah. This young man, he was a little boy with his mother traveling to his grandfather's place, mother's father, mother's mother. And en route, they were attacked by one of the tribes, and most of them were enslaved. And then he was then also enslaved as a little boy and then sold in the marketplace of slaves. So he was sold as a slave, but his origin was from a noble Arab tribe. He comes from the Banu Kalb clan. And subhanAllah, in that he was purchased at an exorbitant rate because he was such a handsome, noble boy. Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu purchased him for 400 dirhams in the bazaar of Ukkaz, one of the famous Arab bazaars in Jahiliyyah. And they would have this marketplace in the sacred months, and they used to purchase and sell and buy in that marketplace. Hakim bin Hizam paid an exorbitant rate for him because he was of so much of value. And he wanted to give this young man as a gift to his aunt, who he revered and respected so much. SubhanAllah. So a noble boy who comes from a noble upbringing, he now was enslaved, separated from his mother, separated from his father. SubhanAllah, his father was saddened, bitterly saddened by this loss. He didn't know the plight of his son. Here his son is being sold in the marketplace, and his father is hunting for him everywhere, traveling here and there. His father was none other than Haritha. And who was the son? SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. We'll mention to you. He's one sahabi, SubhanAllah, who Allah explicitly takes his name in the Quran. SubhanAllah. There is another sahabi who's mentioned explicitly in the Quran Kareem, who is a Nabi of Allah as well, but he returns to be among this ummah as a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as an ummati, as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first being Zayd radiyallahu anhu. Falamma qada Zaydun minha wataran zawwajnakaha ila akhir al-ayah. And Allah Ta'ala mentions Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam met him on the night of Mi'raj, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam asked Allah to come as a follower of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was raised to the heavens alive, and he will descend as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he comes on comes before the times of judgment day as a sign of qiyamah. And it will be a time where the ummah will be in great turmoil. The ummah will be under Hazrat Mahdi achieving so much of amazing traits, where the ummah would be succeeding, but in that Dajjal would be unleashed and the ummah would suffer severe and great trials, where the Dajjal would be traveling the entire world in exhorting people and enticing them to forsake their iman. And our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed these sentiments of what Dajjal would do and how he would come to the people and how he would remove the difficulties of those who emulate him and those who follow him and those who accept him as deity. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed this in so many ahadith, that even in Sahih Muslim and in the Sunan Ibn Majah and Sunan Abu Dawood and so forth, in so many of these kitabs, It's clear, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Dajjal would have the shayateen with him, enticing people to forsake their iman. In Sunan ibn Majah, he even exhorts a person and then commands two of the jinn to take the form of the lost parents of this person. And these two images who he thinks are his parents and are exhorting him, that this is your Lord, we've died before you, we've returned to show you the truth. This is how severe would this test be. And finally, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a mu'min, this is in Sahih Muslim and Sunan ibn Majah, who would finally go to Dajjal and he would be halted by the guards. And then the one guard wants to kill him because he speaks disrespectfully concerning Dajjal, and rightfully so, that he is an imposter and he's lying to you all. The other guard says, don't you remember what the Lord exhorted us? They don't kill any. Dajjal didn't want anyone just to die like that or be killed, because he wants people to forsake their iman. He don't want them, doesn't want them to die honorably with their iman. Anyway, he's now escorted. And now he says to Dajjal that you are lying to the people. That Dajjal tries to convince him that I am the Lord. And then because there's, it seems to be a huge crowd and trying to utilize these opportunities to entice the people incorrectly, he then severs him in half and his two body parts are separated to a distance where an archer shoots his target. So quite a distance. And Dajjal walks in between his two body parts. And then everyone is shocked at this when Dajjal then puts him together. This is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everyone is now astonished, astounded, dumbfounded, dumbstruck, amazed. But this mu'min, subhanallah, what iman. He exhorts the community and encourages them to protect their iman and to remain firm on deen and a'mal and correct aqidah. That this man was supposed to do that. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold us that he'll do this. But don't worry, he won't be able to do it again. And when Dajjal sees that this mu'min, the way he's giving da'wat and exhorting people and trying to protect their iman and communicating with them, he now gets infuriated and he now really tries to sever him and kill him. And he tries to sever him by the neck. But Allah transforms it into copper and metal. And now he's not managing. Dajjal is not managing to cut through his neck. And the mu'min lives. And then Dajjal flings him into what outwardly seems to be a fire. But our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that will lead you to Jannah. So this is a severe test. Allah Ta'ala, help us. But in that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send, subhanallah, as a follower of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none other than Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. The believers will be about to pray. The adhan, the iqama would have just got finished. And subhanallah, at the time of Fajr, Allah make it that you and I are there for Fajr every day. Imagine we miss our Fajr. How much of khayr we lose out? How much of blessings we lose out in our lives? Hazrat Isa alayhi salam descends, subhanallah, and the salah is about to be performed. He descends on the wings of two angels. I would love you all to find this hadith. Hadith number 1808 in Riyadhus Salihin. I'm sure most of you have this kitab in your home, in the shelf. Don't let it collect dust. Open this kitab. Towards the end of the kitab is this beautiful hadith of Hazrat Nawas ibn Sim'an and also Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. And there's an amazing subhanallah question by Hazrat Ummu Sharik radiallahu anha. We just discussed her life, how she used to advocate Islam, how she used to go to the different mushrikeen of Makkah, to the women folk, and she used to exhort them to embrace Islam. Hazrat Ummu Sharik radiallahu anha, Ghaziyah radiallahu anha. And she posed this question, amazing question to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning Dajjal. And subhanallah, we find that Sahaba, because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this fitna, he said that Dajjal would travel the whole world and it would take a year for a day to pass. Meaning one day would be like a year, and then the next day would be like a month, and then the next day would be like a week, and like that, finally, when the days follow its normal sequence. Look at Sahaba's worry and concern. Allah give us worry for what is important. We worried about everything else that's only worldly inclined. What about worrying about our purpose and our goal? Sahaba's worry was, that day that takes a year to go by, O Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will we perform our salah? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. But imagine, is Sahaba, Imagine their temperament. Imagine their worry. Imagine their concern. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed that you estimate the hours, and how long it takes for the salah to come in. That's when you will perform your salahs. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah causes amazing things to happen that probes the curiosity of people. Subhanallah. That's why making deen available to people is so pertinent. Just this morning we went with an alim. He arrived from Bangladesh. He was in our masjid. And then we just saw him and I said, come, we go for some coffee. And in that he's running a beautiful, huge madrasa there. So I was just getting some coffee and talking to the non-Muslims. And then as we were returning, we saw so many of our local Zulu people, community, comrades. And they were waiting in their queues. And in a few minutes, we just explained the beauty of Islam. And their reaction and their approachability was so soft, polite, caring, loving. And then I was saying to Maulana, you see how beautifully people react. They want to know. You tell them about the oneness of Allah and a few words in their language about the greatness of Allah and how Islam is for everyone. You explain to them who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then I asked my friend, you see, if we ask them who is Isa alayhi salam, they all know. Even though the information they got is incorrect because they got it mainly from the missionaries, but something they know. Ask them about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they know not. Most of them don't even know the meaning of the adhan, even though all of them have heard the adhan. Up to today, for the last few years, we're explaining to them the meaning of the adhan. I haven't come across a non-Muslim who knows what it means. So much is needed for us to make an effort and exhort them and express this to them and explain to them. So after we finished, I was explaining to him that you see, alhamdulillah, we show people character. We interact with them honestly and we should be doing so. And that's what the encouragement we have to give our brothers. Allah make it easy for our brothers who come from foreign. They're going through a difficulty, a lot of scrutiny, some such situations where they did wrong, other situations they are wronged. But all of this is a learning curve that we have to show akhlaq, we have to make sure our goods are intact, we have to make sure we don't harm anyone. So akhlaq is imperative, necessary. Interaction with people, our dealings has to be transparent and honest. But that, our dealings and our du'as, is watering the ground. But putting the seed in the ground is really pertinent and necessary. And the seed is that basic message of Islam. What is the crux of Islam? The oneness of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the mercy of Allah. And subhanallah, who is our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Expressing this to humanity, this is really, really pertinent. And how Islam is for everyone. What does the adhan mean? Basic beliefs in Islam. And then you leave them to think. And then they must also know that they can also become Muslim if they want to, but it's their choice. But we exhort them and how this will become their salvation. Give the message. And then it might take time for it to sink down. It might take time for them to digest it. But once we sowed the seed, every time they dealt with fairly, they interacted with kindly, they see the akhlaq of the Muslims, or they see some sign or some happening in their life, some accident, some catastrophe, some blessing, it could remind them that, you know, this is the Almighty. And every time they hear the adhan, they remembered of the dawat you gave them. So that is like watering the seed. So many a time we're putting water, but we didn't even put the seed. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to give the correct analysis. But putting the seed is pertinent, and that is what is needed. And he was also so amazed that every person reacted so politely, wanting to know the truth. Allah give us tawfiq. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, with His will, amazing things happen. Now there's a research that they're researching why the earth is growing slower. And how it's halting in its speed, and what an impact it's having on the seasons because of the motion and the tilting of the earth, and so forth and so forth. And then as they're analyzing, as it goes slower, it comes to a point where the earth comes to a total stop. The movement of the earth, its motion, is anti-clockwise. And that is the natural way. That's why our subhanallah, our tawaf is also anti-clockwise. Alhamdulillah, by Padi Rahmatullahi will exhort people or encourage them just to even do everything anti-clockwise. Even when you're stirring your tea, do it anti-clockwise. Anyway, when it comes to a stop, it then restarts in the other direction, which is clockwise, and that's not the natural way. And now when it starts moving, obviously it takes time to take off, like anything naturally. And as it takes off, at that time, due to its slow motion, it would take a year for a day to pass. And then it would take a year, a month for a day to pass. And then a week, and so forth, and so forth. And then, subhanallah, exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 1400 years ago. Subhanallah. That this was what happened. And now they are coming to see this. Now imagine we show them these ahadith of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many of the ahadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So profound. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed even that Arabia would become fertile again. وَسَيَعُودُ بِلَادُ الْعَرَبِ مُرُوجًا وَأَنْهَارًا. The fact that it would become, before Judgment Day, pastures of greenery. Subhanallah. Areas that were bitterly cold are becoming so hot and warm. Areas that were hot and scorching are now receiving snow. And they're becoming like meadows. But what's interesting in the hadith is وَسَيَعُودُ. It would happen once, it would return to that state. And that wording of the hadith shows that historically, years and years ago, centuries ago, millenniums ago, it was at one stage a meadow of greenery. That's what we learn about the history of those lands, how people would travel, and it would be so lush and so green. And yes, it was Allah's wisdom why it remained a desert, because what would have happened to Arabia in the early stages when Europe would have known, or the Romans and the Byzantinians and people of the colonizers would have known what the beauty of those lands. And it's not just deserts. They would have, you know, expropriated and oppressed the people there. Allah Ta'ala made this as a protective mechanism. Subhanallah, the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala when you think over these things. But what's astonishing is the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that it would become meadows of greenery and green pastures once again. Subhanallah. So many of the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The fact that surrounding the Kaaba, there would be a lot of pipes, could be referring to the tunnels that are there. It could also be referring to the water supply and the water lines that are there. The fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the mountains, that the buildings around the Kaaba would be loftier than mountains. A'la min al-jibal. All of this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. The fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that Bedouins who were involved in animals and livestock, shepherds, would now be competing with each other in building skyscrapers. Exactly the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is unraveling right before our very eyes. Imagine, there's an amazing hadith. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri's hadith, radiallahu anhu, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, by that being in whose hand is my life, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, judgment won't occur until even the wild animals will start speaking to the people. وَحَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ الرَّجُلَ عَذَبَةُ سَوْطِهِ, even the edge of a person's whoop would speak to him. The lace of a person's shoe will speak to him. His thigh, وَتُخْبِرُهُ فَخِذُ, would tell him what's happening at home. بِمَا أَحْدَثَ أَهْلُهُ بَعْدَهُ. Allah knows the exact meaning. But so many of this seems to be so clear. His thigh is speaking to him. In Arabic, it's such a language of rhetoric and beauty and eloquence. Subhanallah. His thigh can also mean what is by his thigh, what is kept in the pocket next to the thigh. From there he can know what is needed at home, what's happening at home. This comes in Tirmidhi. The hadith about the pipes around the Kaaba is in Ibn Abi Shayba, Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, with quite a few chains of report that makes the hadith sound. It's the same hadith about the lofty buildings around the Kaaba and so forth. That's Abdullah bin Amr bin Ash radiallahu anhu's hadith. Even the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, تُقَاتِلُكُمُ الْيَهُودِ, the Jews will fight you. And Allah would then give you victory over them. فَتُسَلَّطُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ. To such an extent, at the end, the stone would even speak and say, يَا مُسْلِمْ, come, O Muslim. Hadith muttafaqun alayh. But what's interesting is, what's very, very pertinent here is the ummah comes together. Ya Muslim. The tree doesn't say, O Arab, O Palestinian, O whatever faculty, O Indian, O African. No, we are one ummah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam united us. Subhanallah. In Tabrani, Nuhayk bin Sarim radiallahu anhu's report, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you'll definitely fight against the mushrikeen until the remainder of you would fight against Dajjal. Ala Nahri al-Urdun, on or near the river, the Jordan River. Then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed and said, "Antum sharqiyuhu wa hum gharbiyuhu." O my Ummah, you would be on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and they would be on the western side. Hazrat Nuhayk said, "I heard this hadith. I didn't know where was Urdun at that time." But subhanAllah, how indebted are we to the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. They remembered the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they preserved it for us. And that's exactly what's going on today. Exactly as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is how everything is being situated. That's why very interesting is the fact that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Suratul Bani Israel and also known as Suratul Isra every night. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, Surah Zumar and Surah Bani Israel, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite every night. I would exhort everyone, read these chapters and also learn from the ulama the meaning of these chapters. Today is Friday, we should read Surah Al-Kahf. Allahu Akbar, Allah give us all tawfiq. But we should read this Bani Israel and so forth. Hazrat Imran bin Husayn radiallahu anhu's report, this is in Tirmidhi, a sahih report. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in this ummah, there would be transformation. People metamorphosized into something else, different appearances, and there would be such explosions, rained with stones, some sorts of different sorts of explosions, and rained with stones, qadf. One of the Muslims asked, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when would this happen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when musical instruments and different sorts of them become apparent and glaringly, openly perpetrated. Allah help us, respected Ummah. Imagine today, Muslims in nikahs and functions, open defiance of the orders of Allah, no consideration whatsoever, just put open music and intermingling between sexes. Imagine, Allah help us, O respected Ummah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us of the repercussion of such open defiance of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could we? Our Allah who is doing everything for us. Allah is blessing you with that nikah. Allah is blessing you with this wife, with this son-in-law, with your daughter-in-law. Exhort your family that Allah is blessing me. How can we defy Allah? How can we openly, flamboyantly, arrogantly disobey Allah? How could we? What pleasure could there be in that, respected Ummah? And definitely shaitan would entice us that if you don't do it according to the norms and the Jones, what will the people say? What will my friends say? Do we ask ourselves, what will my Allah say? This is a beautiful hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Allah will say, O my banda, on judgment day, what stopped you from telling the people the truth and doing the right thing? The banda of Allah will say, Allah, I was scared of the statements of people, khashyatun nas, the reactions of people, meeting the people, I was scared. Allah will say, O my banda, فَإِيَّايَ كُنْتُ أَحَقَّ أَن تَخْشَى. You are supposed to fear Allah and not the people. There's another amazing hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed it openly and he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَان. A time will come upon the people. يُخَيَّرُ فِيهِ الرَّجُلِ. A person would be put at loggerheads. He would be put in a situation where he would be made to choose بين العجز والفجور. That he must be labeled backward and deemed weak and slow and backward by his community, his friends, his associates, or he must perpetrate the wrongs that they also do. والفجور. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have to face such a difficulty, such a situation where you put at this loggerhead where you have to make the choice, فَمَنْ أَدْرَكَ ذَلِكَ الزَّمَانِ. And this indicates that this would become a common thing at that time. If you live in that time where defiance becomes so common, disobedience to Allah becomes so common, and those who please Allah and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes like the gharib and the wayfarer and the stranger who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for, that blessings are for these strangers. When asked, who are they? Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are those who will preserve my sunnah when others would defy and go contrary and neglect it. Subhanallah. In this hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are facing such a situation, فَلْيَخْتَرِ الْعِجْزِ, choose
The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of their reaction, whether they label you or not, but never become like them. Alal fujur, choose my way and not their way. And that's what we learn. We are Muslims. We don't say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. We learn in our deen, even if Allah takes you to Rome, my brother, you follow the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever you're traveling, if you're traveling, if you're going for business, you're going for work, you're going with your family, make sure we uphold the sunnah. Make sure we practice the deen. Make sure we stop for salah. Make sure we give the adhan. Make sure we read our Quran. Make sure we establish the halaqas of ta'aleem. Make sure we carry some literature. So wherever we go, we can exhort and encourage and motivate people to see the beauty of deen, and we share and show akhlaq and character with people wherever we end up. Subhanallah, reach out to the people. Not long ago in Bloemfontein, wherever you stop, you perform salah. The people are so approachable. The Sotho community, the Afrikaner community, how people want to know about the deen, how people appreciate it when you tell them about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that he's mentioned in the Quran, and that he was raised to the heavens. The same hadith, subhanallah, 1808. See the beauty of that hadith, how when Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam returns, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it would be the time of salah, and the Imam of the Muslims, seemingly Hazrat Mahdi radiyallahu an, would offer Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, out of respect, the musalla, to lead the Muslim ummah in prayer. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam would turn that offer down and exhort Hazrat Mahdi, the Imam, the leader of the Muslims, to lead the prayer. Subhanallah. How amazing is the fact that he is Allah's Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam, but he comes down to make this khidmah for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he refuses to lead the prayer. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ أَيَّتُهَا الْأُمَّةِ. Imagine your status, how high your position is and would be, O my ummah. That imagine Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, إِذَا نَزَلَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. Hazrat Ibn Maryam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam would come to perform prayer with you. He would descend as an ummati of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the imam would be from you. Imagine how special, how amazing is the status of this ummah of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam would perform that prayer with the Muslims, following the Imam of the Muslims. And that also is to teach us that he comes back as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's an amazing incident by Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, that another Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. What an amazing Nabi of Allah, subhanallah. It's so interesting that the ruler of his time threw him amongst hungry lions, and how Allah Ta'ala protected him, and Allah Ta'ala sent a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, another Nabi from another region, to take food for him and take care of him. And subhanallah, and it's so interesting that that Nabi of Allah was found, his body was totally intact when Sahaba were out in Allah Ta'ala's way, and they came across this body and they verified it was the body. It was huge, a handsome, huge body, passed away millenniums ago. Whose body was it? Allahu Akbar. It was the body of Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. And his request was that, O Allah, if you don't make me from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, I request you that a follower and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must bury me. Imagine Sahaba and the Tabi'een radiyallahu anhum wa rahimahumullah found him. They buried him, subhanallah, correctly according to the teachings of the sunnah mubarakah of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, they wrote to Hazrat Umar, he gave them guidelines and so forth. And he said, send the man who found the body and died and identified the body first, because our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the man who finds the body of Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam, فَبَشِّرُوهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ, give him the good news of paradise. Hirqus rahimahullah found, subhanallah. So what we learn is so much there is of clear proofs of the greatness and the status of this ummah. So our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, irrespective of the time you live in, follow my sunnah. And what also makes this ummah very special is the previous umam,
did lots of ibadah, and we read about their lives, years and years of ibadah. Some of them would be so long in ibadah, they would remain decades in a place of prayer, in ibadah, in dhikr, in dua, in sujood. But what makes this ummah very special is the fact that coupled with ibadah, we also share and spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the responsibility that was upon Anbiya alayhi salam is the responsibility of the ummah, of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we exhort and call humanity to the truth and to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see that hadith that we mentioned to you, and how when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam comes, and then how he will kill the Antichrist after that salah, then Dajjal would be on the other side, outside the masjid, and subhanAllah, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam would go with the believers, even though Dajjal would start melting every disbeliever who has a jurisdiction, a period, a distance from Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, a great distance, starts melting already. But he will then chase Dajjal and end off Dajjal, that his blood will even be on the sword of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And interestingly, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam spoke about the khair and the peace that will come about at that time when the Muslims will be with Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the great follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, and would be the greatest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's ummatis and sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And interestingly, the peace that would come about between the lions and the cubs and the children and the snakes, the peace that would come about due to Allah ta'ala's obedience on this earth, and so forth and so forth. And then other fitan would come, which is the fitnas of Ya'juj and Ma'juj and so forth and so forth, that Allah ta'ala would end off for the ummah. But interesting is, while traveling, wherever we go, share this beautiful hadith with the Christians as well. Because they have some of these verses that has some of this information, even though they have the distorted version. The Quran Kareem and the Sunnah Mubarakah clarify and correct. That's why we're reading the surah today. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja. Allah, perfect is Allah. All praise is to Allah, who revealed the book, anzala ala abdihi, upon his banda, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this Qur'an, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا, Allah did not place for it any contradiction, any distortion, any change, no matter whatsoever, no crookedness, no waywardness. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا قَيِّمًا. Everything concerning this book is perfect, is pure, is straight, is correct. And قَيِّم means the supervisor. What is in charge? What is in control? The Quran is in control. The Quran corrects the mistakes of the previous scriptures. And the mistakes and the distortions that came into those books, the Quran corrects it and checks it. So what is in the Quran is pure, pristine, and correct. So subhanAllah, certain informations that they have does go in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah. So that's how we know those certain aspects have remained intact, even though most of what they have has been distorted. And interestingly, this aspect they do have, that our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith about the conditions of the people, and how Allah ta'ala will use Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to remove all their difficulties and the strugglings that they went through for that period of time. And alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala would alleviate their pangs and so forth and so forth. So that's interesting that we should share this information with the ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So yes, all the Sahaba are great, Ya Allah, and they're the best of people. وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Every one of them. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And we are definitely indebted to them. It was them who preserved the deen, who preserved the Qur'an Kareem, who preserved the Sunnah Mubarakah. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّبِيِّ وَحِزْبِهِ وَلَوْلَا هُمُ مَا كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْلِمُ وَلَوْلَا هُمُ كَادَتْ تَمِيدُ بِأَهْلِهَا وَلَكِنْ رَوَاسِهَا وَأَوْتَادُهَا هُمُ وَلَوْلَا هُمُ كَانَتْ ظَلَامًا بِأَهْلِهَا وَلَكِنْ مَصَابِيحُهَا وَنُجُومُهَا هُمُ. They are our stars. They are these firmly embedded mountains that preserve the deen through which this earth functions. If it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be a Muslim on the face of the earth. It was them who preserved the truth. Allah Ta'ala bless them all. Allah enable us to love them and emulate them. Every one of them is so special. But we are in the discussion of those two great Sahaba who are explicitly mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Even though Hazrat Abu Bakr is mentioned with accolade and quality, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's special sahib in the cave. That's explicit in the Quran Kareem, mashallah. And all the Sahaba, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, expressed and beautifully defended in so many verses of the Quran Kareem in Surah An-Nur. And all the Sahaba are promised paradise and the highest levels of paradise, because it was them through whom deen arrived in this world. Alhamdulillah. But there are these two great Sahaba who are explicitly mentioned, one being Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who is going to come back because he was raised alive. And share this with the Christian world as well, that we believe in this, that he was raised and Allah saved him. We'll carry on with further discussion concerning that. And the other who we are also discussing, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who Allah ta'ala explicitly mentions in the Quran Kareem. And he was also the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.